Welcome back to the Walk the Word podcast. My name is James and I'm the pastor here at Star Fellowship in the Kingdom of Bahrain. This is our midweek Bible teaching. We have been working through God's Word one chapter a week, and today, after a break, we return to Numbers for the last chapter, Numbers chapter 36. Now, as we say each and every week, if you've never read Numbers 36, if you've no idea what this chapter is all about, go ahead and press pause and read it, and then we'll come back together as we seek to know and grow in the Word. So Numbers 36 continues. The people are on the edge of the Promised Land. It continues right where Numbers 35 left off. And the way that it finishes, the way that the book of Numbers finishes, if we were to take it as a standalone, independent, one-off kind of book, would be a really strange finish. The people are there and they're just camped. There's no neat and tidy conclusion. There are lots of things still left unresolved. But if we look at the Bible, and especially the Old Testament, but the Bible, bigger picture, as one continuous narrative, we begin to see that the way that Numbers finishes is not really that much of a problem. It's not a problem at all, because the very next page, the very next verse, Deuteronomy 1:1, picks up flawlessly where Numbers leaves off. So there's a change in theme, there's a change in topic, there's a change in the people are in different places doing different things, but it's one continuous narrative. So all of that to say, the fact that Numbers ends quite abruptly, if we were taking it as a standalone book, would be quite odd. But the fact that it's a very seamless, continuous narrative from Genesis to Revelation kind of negates that. So, how does it finish? Numbers 36 begins, "The heads of the fathers' houses of the clan of the people of Gilead, the son of Machir, son of Manasseh, from the clans of the people of Joseph," quite an introduction, "came near and spoke before Moses and before the chiefs, the heads of their fathers' houses of the people of Israel." So for a bit of context for this, what they are going to talk about, we first read about all the way back in chapter 27. A little subtitle in your Bibles, possibly "The Daughters of Zelophehad." And their issue was, look, we don't have any sons through which our inheritance will pass. And they said, you know, we don't have any sons. He had no sons to pass inheritance through. And they said there in 27 verse 4, "Why should the name of our father be taken away from his clan because he had no son?" And that's quite fair, isn't it? Just because you've not had male children doesn't mean your name and your family should be removed from the history of your people. And so that was dealt with back then, and it's coming up again now. So verse 2 of chapter 36 says, so this is their complaint, this is their point. "The Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for inheritance by lot to the people of Israel. My Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad to our brother to his daughters. But if they are married to any sons of other tribes, then their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of our fathers and added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry." And so their point is, like, look, it's great. It's all well and good giving the daughters of Zelophehad his inheritance. But when they marry, surely it will then pass into their husband's family. And so ultimately, our clan, our family still loses out. They say, so it will be taken away from the lot of our inheritance. And when the Jubilee of the people comes, their inheritance will be added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry. Their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. So we go all the way back to Leviticus 25 to read about the year of Jubilee that they're referencing. But interestingly, I read this week that the Jubilee statutes applied to purchased and leased property, not that had been inherited. So they're concerned, but it's not entirely accurate, the basis for their concern. Nonetheless, they've got a very valid concern, bigger picture, that look, we're going to give inheritance to the daughters. When they get married, it's going to go with them and it gets absorbed into the tribe, the family of their husband. So what are we going to do? And then verses 5 to 9 is the solution. So Moses commanded the people of Israel according to the word of the Lord. So that's really important. Moses has not decided this. He's not got, you know, his senior most leaders together and had a meeting and formed a committee, and, you know, he's sought God's leading on this. So Moses commanded the people according to the word of the Lord, and he said, the tribe of the people of Joseph is right. This is what the Lord commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad. First, we read, let them marry whom they think best. Only they shall marry within the clan of the tribe of their father. And I read recently that it's a very, very large tribe at this point in history. So this is not a huge burden. Like being told to marry somebody from your hometown rather than your entire country. It's not a huge imposition to these women. The inheritance of the people shall not be transferred from one tribe to another, for everyone of the people of Israel shall hold on to their inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. Every daughter who possesses an inheritance shall be wife to one of the clan of the tribe of her father, so that every one of the people may possess the inheritance of his fathers. And the conclusion there in verse 9 is that no inheritance shall be transferred from one tribe to another, for each of the tribes of the people of Israel shall hold on to its own inheritance. And again, in this kind of culture, in this society, the tribes had the inheritance rights above and beyond people. And that was the concern, really, wasn't it, of these guys. So the daughters are going to inherit, but then it's going to go into another. As they're absorbed into another tribe through marriage, it goes with them. It doesn't stick to them personally. It gets absorbed into the tribe. And the solution here is, well, let them choose who they're going to marry. We're not going to force them to marry somebody in particular. But the compromise, the trade-off is, well, let's have them marry from our hometown's worth of people, let's say, rather than the whole nation. There are very rarely perfect solutions to the problems that we encounter in life. There are often compromises and trade-offs needed, and this seems to be a pretty good one. The women are free to marry whom they think best, but it's within this particular group of people. Again, at this time, it was quite a large group of people, so it's not a massive imposition. And then the reason there in verses 7 and 9 is that, you know, inheritance sticks with the tribes. If they marry within that group of people, it doesn't really matter, because we're all going to end up with what we were given anyway. Verse 10 tells us the daughters of Zelophehad did as the Lord commanded Moses, and they were told that they were married to sons of their father's brothers within this tribe. They were married into the clans of the people of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of their father's clan. So it's a really good model for people have a concern, people have a query, people have a question. They take it to the leader who seeks God's word on the matter, who relays it to the people who enact it in simple obedience. And then the chapter ends. These are the commandments and the rules that the Lord commanded through Moses to the people in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. And with that, we finish the book of Numbers. And it's been quite a journey, hasn't it? It's been a long, long journey. They began all the way back in Numbers 1:1 in the wilderness. Numbers 1:1 tells us that, now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of meeting on the first day of the second month, the second year after they'd come out of the land of Egypt. So they've come a long, long way from the wilderness, and they're now poised. They are now ready. They're on the threshold of the land that he has promised them. And I read this week that they've gone from this encampment at Mount Sinai. They've had a wonderful opportunity to grow from a people enslaved by others to being a nation of people ready to inherit God's promised land. It's not been a very linear, constantly upward moving journey. It's been difficult, as we've talked about this last 36 chapters. they've struggled in their flesh, they've complained, they've rebelled, they've fallen into sin, they've missed opportunities to really step forward in faith. They've been in the wilderness for almost 40 years. They've been led through the wilderness for about 38 years. And they set out towards this promised land. And now they're poised. Now they're so ready to step into it. And to step into the promises, both land, yes, but also of the life that God has promised them. And it's almost like the 40 years that they've been, a couple of years after Egypt, 38 years in the book of Numbers, it's almost like everything that's brought them to this point, they're going to need even more faith to now step into the land. I read that it would take courageous faith to move across the Jericho to the promised land. Staying on the shores would have been easier, simpler. Staying where they are, looking across the river into the land, dreaming, hoping, wishing. But actually stepping foot, crossing the river, is going to need even more faith than the journey that's brought them to this point. And so Numbers has been a great book. I really hope you've enjoyed working through it, learned some things along the way. Next week, we will get into the book of Deuteronomy, which is a really, really important book. It previews so much of the person and the work of Jesus. It's a very often referenced book in the New Testament through direct quotes or allusions or kind of paraphrasing. So it's sure to be a great study. But until then, God bless.